the scene of Jacob wrestling with the angel is one of my favorite ones. The idea of a struggle or of wrestling with something feels like something I apply to myself in lots of things. I apply it to squeezing one more thing into a busy day, to being a responsible son and a good friend, to trying to stay on top of lots of responsibilities, even when some of them I should have said no to. I apply it to trying to keep fit. And I apply it to wrestling with the scriptures of the week. But when I look at Jacob, what is that wrestling for him? I mean, it looks like it's an angel, at least when I picture it in my mind. Or is he wrestling with his own fear about what will happen when he meets his brother? Is he wrestling with his conscience in a final awareness that his actions were really awful towards him? In the popular phrase, is he wrestling with his own inner demons? You know, odd to have it be whether it's an angel or a demon. Is he wrestling with God, God's very self? Now, I like the image of wrestling, but I haven't thought of it very much as, am I wrestling with God when I'm struggling with something? And maybe even I have to wrestle with, what do I think about who God is for that image to even work for me? And so I wonder about how that is for you. When you're struggling with something, are you struggling with where God is in it? Or with God's very self? Or are you struggling with you and all your foibles? I think of that image of wrestling as when you're dealing with something that's very intense. And we have those. We have those crisis times when it's like wrestling. But I think more of us have the lower grade, longer prolonged version. You know, if you could say, compare a migraine to a low grade headache that lasts for months, where we have smaller things that we're just struggling with for the very long time. And for those things, the other readings give us the image of persistence. It's a different word, it's in the same family as that wrestling, but persistence seems to be about longer. The two senses of it that we have are a bit different from each other, so I want to say a little bit about each of them. Paul writes about persistence to Timothy, and that is a beloved reading at ordinations. It was at my ordination, I remember it, and I remember the preacher expressing what clergy do and are supposed to do. And I think that our struggle is to make sure that that reading is about everyone. That these things that Paul urges Timothy to do are things that Paul should be addressing to all of us, not just Timothy. When he speaks of unfavorable times, when he speaks of proclaiming a message, convincing, rebuking, encouraging, with the utmost patience in teaching? Sure, that sounds like it could be clergy. But I think the struggle is to make sure it's about all of us. There are parts of that passage that do seem like they're about all of us, such as when people have itching ears and are chasing after all kinds of doctrine and finding teachers that suit themselves. It does sound like our world of conspiracy theory. It sounds like something that we know very well over the past 2 years especially. But when he speaks about enduring suffering by persisting, when he speaks about carrying out your ministry fully, it's for you individually and it's for us all collectively. We use the word ministry for that. And so I am not the Anglican minister. We don't use that terminology that way. I'm the priest who is serving here at St. John's. But the ministry is all of us. It's how God has called each of us. So we use that word in a different way from how it has become popularly received in the culture. The other sense of persistence is in the gospel where Jesus speaks of the unjust judge. And I find myself wanting to wrestle with that passage because Jesus has just compared God to this horrible man. Am I to think that my prayers should be bothering God until God relents? What kind of God would that be? Now there's an element of it where if that's all we thought God was, we would end up in a land called prosperity gospel. Now this is a thing, capitalize it, prosperity gospel. And in this way of thinking, if you don't have something, it's because you didn't pray hard enough for it. And therefore, it's your fault. Cancer, crisis, lose your job. You didn't pray hard enough. It's your fault. And the opposite also. If your life is full of happiness and wealth, must be because you're a really good person and you're praying very well. That's the prosperity gospel. And what it does is it takes one facet of who God is, and it makes it the whole thing. And that's tempting to do. Except that we have all the rest of the scriptures where the Psalms say, why do the evil ones prosper and the good ones suffer? They ask that big question. And where Jesus also says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Now, it's true that Jesus does say in the Sermon on the Mount, ask and it will be given to you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, this is consistent with what Jesus is saying with the unjust judge, so we need to let go of the unjust guy, because the thing here is the how much more. If a corrupt person will change his mind because he's being bothered, how much more will the God who loves us want to respond to our cries of pain? and our persistence with love and comfort and with a calling. So when Paul says to Timothy, do these things, God responds to our persistence both by comforting us and by giving us ministry. And we do that with joy. I have to say, I have never seen a community so full of persistent people as this one, where you each have your favorite things that you are working on. You know what they are: multi-faith housing, emergency food center, coldest night of the year. And we have one that's really pertinent right now. We share our building with The Well, which is a service program for women. And there was a fire at our sibling Anglican church, St. Luke's. And the program there, which is a men's program mostly, St. Luke's Table, has now come to be here with us. So this space is going to be heavily used, maybe for more than 3 months, as they deal with that fire. And some of you are going to feel passion for what shall we do to help. And there are some things that we can do for help to help. And we'll be publicizing those things. But my point is, we each have our things that we care deeply about. I have one. Over many years, I've done a charitable bike ride from Toronto to Montreal, supporting an organization that I care about. And now that I'm here in Ottawa and with the pandemic, I've taken a separation time from it. And being separated from the charity that I've worked for, I'm wondering about the ones that you care about and love. And I wouldn't say give up on them. I'd say, of course they need your help. But when Paul speaks to Timothy about ministry, I think he's speaking about the collective of what we're all going to do together here. That we're going to build our base from which you can go do those things even better than you did them before, but that we need to look after our gathering in our home so that we have that energy to release. So you'll hear more about stewardship today, because we're going to talk about that energy that we want to release together over the next 5 weeks. But in the meantime, let's take that word persistence in its most positive sense. That we will keep on being St. John's, we will keep on praying, and we know God is faithful.